Happy Sabbath. I think it would be an understatement for me to say that I'm so excited to be here today. You see, my church back in Houston, our church is shut down. And it's a very, very big church. And the way we started the whole thing was we decided that, you know, we're going to do it in numbers. So 100 people were allowed to come in, but they have to register because we don't want too many people at the church at the same time. So I was given the position of worship coordinator there, and it was not very easy, you know, to coordinate, you know, when people come to the front, when people do this, who's going to do that? But the blessing that God has actually bestowed on the service, even though we tried, I remember 2 weeks in a row, we have 100 people. Then after that, we increased it to 150. And then for whatever reason, they said somebody was at home and he went to do a COVID test and he tests positive. I don't remember if the person actually comes to church yet. And then they decided to shut the church down. So when I got to the church this morning, and there were only about 2 people here when I got in, and because for whatever reason, somebody didn't tell me that the service started at 10:30. So I was thinking it started at 9:30. And I got here very, very early, and the church was a little bit empty. So I said, well, I'm kind of used to it. But then people started coming in, and I see people's faces, and, you know, people give me a hug that I've not had in a long time. You know, and when you add it all up together, I can say it's good to be back here. You know, I'm so happy, I don't know how to explain it. However, there are a couple of things that are missing. Typically, when I come to church, few people bring me stuff. You know, they bring cookies, you know. But I don't see cookies today. So. But I'm so happy. I am so very happy to see everybody. I mean, you have no idea how glad I am. And one of the things that also is going on around this time, like we all know, this is Christmas time. You know, I don't know whether the conference is listening, but I didn't celebrate Christmas. What I mean by that is, personally, I got gifts. Most of the gifts that I wished for, and I gave gifts, is a celebration just between the family because we couldn't really go out because there's a restriction on that now. So they don't want you to travel. They don't want you to go out. They don't want you to do anything. So we just gathered, you know, among families, and we had a very little food here and there. But I want to ask you, did you get everything you wished for? There's always one thing for me that I always wish that I get every year. Every year, I always wish I get this thing. And it's this red Ohio State cap. And my nephew always gives me the same gift every year. And I love it. I look forward to it. The reason is, by the end of the year, the one that he gave me at the beginning is already worn out. So I need a new one. So he always gives me this Ohio State. And when I wear it to play golf, typically, you know, I tend to play well. So I like it. But the question that I want to ask everybody this morning is it possible that whatever you wish, you can get it? Is it possible that whatever you wish, you can get it? Now, one of the things that I enjoy so much, and I know that a lot of people will probably not see the way I see it, but I'm not into history or philosophy or all these humanities classes when I was in college. I don't know how to draw. I don't know how to sing. Matter of fact, I don't know how to do a whole lot of things. One thing that I like so much is I like science. And one of the things that I like in science is what we call equation. I love organic chemistry because I can add 1 + 1 and you always get to 2. Doesn't matter where you go, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter whatever, 1 + 1 will always equal to 2. And I've been thinking about it. One of the things that I realize is God has equation also. And his equation, as much as their conditioner, they are also true. If you do certain things will happen to you. There's no way around it. If you do this, you get this. In my household, when I was growing up, my mother has a question too. You do this, this is spanking. I mean, there's no question about it. So there are certain things that you don't do. So this morning, I really, really want us to, and I've asked people to pray about this. I really want us to understand a couple of things. And those things is that God has conditions for everything that happens in our lives. God has an equation that if we do certain things will happen to us. That's the reason why I ask you, what did you wish for during Christmas? And I know that a lot of us did not get everything we wanted. However, there is a formula in the Bible that explains the authenticity of the effectual effect of prayer. That when we do certain things will happen. It's the law of God. There is no question about it. Now, let me explain the way I want this to work. Do you remember in the Bible this church called the Berean Church? I think it's Berean. You know, Paul was saying when they come to church, everything that Paul tells them, they go back home and they review it and they make sure that what Paul was preaching is actually right. So allow me to explain to you that do not rely so much on someone else to tell you how to live your relationship with Christ. You have to be like Bereans. You have to be able to go back home and actually dig deep into the scriptures, find out what is that God wants for your life. You cannot rely on your mother, your father, your friend, your sister, even your pastor. You have to dig deep by yourself. So that's what we're going to do today. Now, don't expect that I come with this polished, you know, sermon or this discussion. I'm going to break it down, you know. I'm going to, you know, dissect everything. No, I'm not going to do that. What I want you to do is to take this message, take it home, sit down with your family, figure out what exactly is God wanting for your life. If we don't understand what is going on right now, I think all of us will agree with one thing, that this world is not the way it used to be. I don't know what is going to happen, and I'm not going to, you know, to prophesy and say, well, tomorrow the Lord is going to come, or next week the world is going to, and I don't know that. But I do know that something is going on. And whatever it is that is going on, we ought to prepare for the eventuality. And that preparation is for us to stop depending on someone to feed you. We need to cook our own food, meaning study the Bible. Get close with God. And when we do that, I believe that all will be well. The title of our discussion today, as you know, ask whatever you wish. When I was thinking about this thing, it kind of scared me a little bit, because for anybody to tell you to ask whatever you wish, they must have everything. Because what if I ask for a car and you don't have a car? What if I ask for a house and you don't have a house? So my belief is, if you are going to tell me to ask anything I wish, you must have everything. But I want to explain to you what this equation is, because with this equation, you definitely can ask whatever you wish. I don't know how many of us actually took organic chemistry, but there is inorganic chemistry. There is this equation, we all know it. If you have two molecules of hydrogen and you have one molecule of oxygen, you must have what? What are you going to have if you have those two things? You're going to have H2O. You're going to have water. Water has no choice but to appear when you have hydrogen and you have oxygen. It does not have a choice. Water cannot say, I don't want to appear. So that's the kind of equation that I want us to look at. Now, if one of them is missing, then we don't have water. So when you go to the book of John, And this just became the message that God has given me that just changed my life completely. If you go to the book of John, chapter 15, and we're going to read from verse 7, just the scripture reading. And basically, it says, if you remain in me, and my word remain in you, you may ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. Now, do you understand that equation right there? Remain in me, my word remain in you, ask whatever you wish. There is no other equation in the Bible that is explicit. This is not a prophecy. This is not in Revelation. This is actually Jesus speaking to his disciples. If you remain in me, and my word remain in you, you may ask whatever you want, and it will be given you. If we go back to the book of John, we can see the context through which this thing is being displayed. One of those things was, if you remember the story very well, Jesus was about to die. So he called his disciples. This is some kind of solemn time. Call them together. If you go to chapter 13, he started talking to them about how they need to care for one another. You know, what did he do? He bent down, started washing their feet. If you remember the story very well, Peter was like, no, you're not going to wash my feet. Jesus said, well, if I don't wash your feet, then you're now part of these things that we're trying to build. I said, okay, if you're going to do that, well, wash my feet, wash my hand, wash everything. And Jesus ended up washing their feet. But at that time also, he predicted the person who's going to betray him. When you leave that, you go to Jesus now comforting them, knowing fully that he's about to leave them. He understands what they are going to go through. He understands the agony. He understands the punishment. He understands that some of them, like the book of Hebrews said, they will be cut asunder. Some of them will be thrown to animals. Many things are going to happen to them. So he started talking to them and comforting them. And then he told them, if I leave, I'm not going to just leave you alone. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to tell you how to live a successful and victorious Christian life. And then he told them what we all desire in our life. Peace, I live with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. But after that, he gave them what I believe is the most fundamental things in Christian life. He gave them this equation. If you remain in me, my words remain in you, you may ask whatever you wish. And my question today is, what is it that you wish? What are the things that you want in your life? What troubles you? What is bothering you? What do you want God to do for you? What is it that when you lay in by yourself and your head is on your pillow and you tears were running down because you want something, what is it that you want? What do you want? Because if you apply this formula, Jesus specifically said it, you may ask whatever you wish. Whatever you wish. But the formula got to be complete. You cannot have water if you don't have hydrogen. You cannot have water if you don't have oxygen. The two must be complete. They must be balanced. When those two come together, then you may ask whatever you wish. Jesus went on to describe this process, and this process is used what they call the vine and the branch. The vine. Let me tell you something. I'm not a woman. So therefore, I'm not going to get pregnant. But I do know that when people get pregnant, there is this connection between the baby and the mother. I need you to think with me. Put yourself in the baby's position. Now you are the baby. And put Christ as the mother. The baby really doesn't have to ask for anything while he's still in the womb. The umbilical cord connects them together, and whatever the baby needs, he gets. Whatever he wishes, is given to him. The baby is not going to say, look, can I have some sandwiches today? The reason why this happens is found in this formula. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask whatever you wish. When your wish and God's wish become the same, when your wants and God's wants become the same, when your mind is transformed and now you have what we call the mind of Christ, then you can confidently say, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask whatever you wish. And when we dissect this equation, then we come to this fundamental thing that even what God asks you to do, you're not even the one who is going to do it. It's God who is going to do it through you. The question becomes, what is bothering you? What do you wish for today? If you dig deep down inside you, think, what is it that you want? What is it that you need? What do you wish for today? Because if you apply this equation, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask whatever you wish. And that is a fundamental equation that is applicable to every aspect of our life. Even though in the text we understand that Jesus was talking about bearing fruits. Now, if you go one by one, the question becomes, how do you remain in him? Do you know how much distractions we have in the world today? Out of 24 hours, do you know how many time we spend thinking about God? Do we even think about God anymore? If it is not because of how we're going to pay our bills, people will be thinking about the pandemic. If you're not thinking about the pandemic, there's always something to take us away from God. But the Bible is saying, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask whatever you wish. And so I started thinking about, how do I remain in him? I mean, what are the protocols? What are the process for us to use? Now, again, like I said, this is not going to be like a polished kind of discussion. You have to go home and figure this thing out. We need to stop relying on the preacher to get us to heaven. It's not going to happen, especially at this moment in history. We need to find God for our own self. Because, like Johnny said, do you know how many people died on the streets, on the highway this year? We're not even talking about coronavirus. So anything can happen anytime. You have to be ready. So if you go to the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24, 1 John chapter 3, 24. Now what we are looking for is, how do we remain in Christ? And 24 go on to say, now, he who keeps his commandment abides in him. What does that mean? All you have to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to understand how to keep God's commandment. If you keep his commandment, you will remain in him. And if you remain in him, his words will remain in you, then you can ask whatever you wish. When you go also to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, 24. Colossians, just a little bit after Philippians. Chapter 2:6, and it goes on to say, okay, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abiding in it with thanksgiving. Stay in him. You know, when I used to talk to my friends about this, there are certain things that everybody in your family, you know. If you tell your kids, I need you to brush your teeth once a week, their teeth are going to fall out. What do? You brush every day. Matter of fact, you brush twice a day, And you don't just take a shower. just one per week unless you are like in 1600 or something. Now we take shower every day. Why? So we can be clean. Now, if you are somebody that work out, you just don't go to the gym and work out one per week, one day per week, or one per month. You work out every day, every day, every day. That's how to remain in Him. Consistently focus on Him. You know, there are so many things that we try to do. If you are the devil, wouldn't you try to distract somebody from God? And the devil is trying to do that. But we have to remain focused on Him. All your faculties, all everything in your life ought to center right on Jesus. Now, you cannot do it on Sabbath alone. You have to do it every day. The reason why you have to do it every day is because if you remain in Him and His word remain in you, then you can ask whatever you wish. The Bible goes on to say it will be given you. So let's also, part of remaining in Him is also depending on Him. And that's the reason why I constantly ask myself this question: what is bothering you? What is it that you need? What do you wish for? Because if you depend on Him, He's capable of taking care of you. I mean, He's been taking care of you up till now, so there's no point in stopping. And also, I was telling somebody this morning, do you know how much Jesus has invested in you? You're not cheap. I mean, He literally gave His life. And if he can do that, why is He not going to take care of you? I mean, look, listen, people that even have dogs or goats, they take care of those things. How much more God is not going to take care of you? God is going to completely take care of you. And not only that, when I was thinking about this, one of the things that I was thinking about is when I was thinking about how to abide in Him. Do you know that they have these people called the enthusiasts? You know, like if you like football, that's all you talk about. If you like cooking, that's all you talk about. But what if you like Jesus? What else do you talk about other than Him? The more you talk about Him, the more you remain in Him. If you call me right now and you say, Dayo, I'd like to talk to you, the first thing that comes to my mind is how much you shoot last week. And Johnny, we understand that. You know, because I love to play golf. And that's all I talk about, golf. Some people that like movies, they can talk about the movie that I was doing in the 50s. Do we love Jesus enough to talk about Him? Because that's one way for us to remain in Him. Because if we remain in Him and His words remain in us, we can ask whatever we wish and it will be given us. One other thing is that, because see, I don't want us to have this, I know what we are thinking now. I know precisely what we are thinking because I was thinking the same thing when I first found this thing. I can ask whatever I wish. I want a Ferrari LaFerrari. You know, I want good food. I want good clothing. I want good, beautiful, beautiful wife and children. And I want this. I want this. I want that. And I started naming everything until I went back to the equation that says, if you remain in Me and My words remain in you, you can ask whatever you wish. So the other part of the equation you have to is what will have to remain in you. Because, listen, how can we think that we are going to make it if we never study the Bible? How do you even know who God is if you never? He specifically wrote this letter to us saying, this is Me. And Paul went on to say that out of everything that Paul desired, Paul said, that I may know Him. I just want to know God. Because if you know Him, you will know how powerful He is. If you know Him, let me tell you something, forgive me, but if you know God, will you be afraid of this pandemic? Will you be afraid of what you are going to eat, what you are going to wear? Will you be afraid of anything? The reason why we are afraid is because we refuse to study the Word of God. Because in it, the Bible says, it's freedom. So, what I'm trying to say to you this morning is study the Word. I'm not saying read it. No, little kids read stuff. We study. You have to get into it. And
one of the things that I've been doing these days, I take a verse in the Bible. It doesn't have to be there. Look, if you take only one word from the scriptures, it's got so much treasures in it. And I'll take one of these verses and I keep asking myself, why did God say this? Why did God say that? God, I don't understand this. And before you know it, throughout the day, your days are filled with these scriptures. And when I get home, I say, Lord, why would you say this? You know, what exactly is the context through which you're saying this? And before you know it, all your days are filled concentrating on the word of God. And not only that, I got to tell you this. Do you remember when the devil took Jesus to the desert to tempt him? Now, I don't know about you, but Jesus did not go back to the temple. He didn't do anything. What did he do? But I said, oh, he's quoted the scriptures. That tells me, if you really think about it, that tells me Jesus must have read the Bible before. Not only that, he must have memorized it before he can remember what to say when the temptation came. Now, do you understand why we fall into what the Bible called diverse temptations? Some of us, the devil doesn't even have to do anything. The devil can just do this and we fall. Because we don't have no weapon. There's, like a friend of mine will say, you know, you go to a gunfight with a toothpick. You have no chance, you know. So the Bible, let me tell you something. You know, when you talk to some Christians, you try to be, don't say too much, you know. But look, the reality is, we are not babes in Christianity anymore. You need to memorize the scriptures. Some of us, including me, of course, if they ask us, why are you even here today? Give me a verse in the Bible that proves that you ought to be at church on Sabbath. We don't know it. Give me a verse that says your God is capable of taking care of you. We don't know it. Now, allow me to say we can Google it. But what if you find yourself where there is no service and the devil is, you know, attacking you? It is important for us to memorize the scriptures, memorize the promises of God, what God is, who God is, his might, his power, and everything. And also, I wish Sister Gloria is here today because we talked about this verse so many times, and I would love to read it. And let me quickly go there. It's Deuteronomy chapter 6. Okay. Verses 6 and through 9. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. When you sit in your house, that's all you talk about. When you walk by the way, that's all you talk about. When you lie down, that's all you talk about. And when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorpost, on the doorpost of your house and your gate. Meaning, litter everything you got with the word of God. Some of us are so cool, if we get to our house, we don't even know we're Christians. All we have on the refrigerators is things that does not have anything to do with our God. Litter your life with the scriptures. Memorize it. Keep the word of God in your heart. Because if you do that, his word will remain in you, and you will remain in Christ. You can ask whatever you wish. That is the formula. And also, one of the things that I've always told people is, if you really like somebody, you talk to them all the time. Just, nothing. You just talk. And when you look, and there's this thing people call quality time. When was the last time we spent quality time with God? You know, it's, we stay under this umbrella, I'm busy. You know, I got to find food for the family. I got to work. I got to do this. Do you know when Christ comes, all these things will be burned up? The only thing that is going to remain is your relationship with God. Please, let me say it this way. I wanted to say, I beg you to study the scripture. That's not good enough. I beseech thee. What does that mean? It means on my bended knees with tears running down my eyes, I'm telling you, please study the Bible. There is no other way, at least for me, to understand how powerful God is, to understand the love of God, to understand the plans that He has for me. You must study the Bible. Study with your family, your wife, your children. Study with the stranger that is within thy gate. Study with the one outside thy gate. Study it at the grocery store. Fill your life with the Bible. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask whatever you wish. And then, we need to stop. It's not about quantity time, it's about quality time. It's about us setting some times aside to say, this time is just me and God. Just me and God. There's nobody else, just me and Him. We're going to iron something out. We're going to figure something out. If there's something you don't understand in the Bible, go to God. If God has written this letter to you, He has a capability of explaining it to you. And let me tell you something. You will be blown away how much treasure is in the Bible. And then, you remain in Him. His word remains in you. You may ask whatever you wish. But most importantly, I like to actually talk about some of the people that use this equation. And it worked for them, right in the Bible. If you remember, Jesus just finished feeding the 5,000 people. And Jesus said, well, the disciple needs to go. So they got on a boat, and they were going. And then the Bible says that the multitude, they've already left too. Jesus had to go somewhere all by himself. The Bible says he went there to pray. But while he was praying, something happened on the sea. There's turbulence. The disciples were so afraid, they thought that they are going to die. All of a sudden, they looked, and they saw something coming, right? And everybody said, well, what is that? They thought they saw a ghost. They find out, but Jesus said, no, it's me. And Peter said, not that I don't believe you, but if it was you, if it is actually you, bid me come. At this moment, I want you to put this situation in the equation. At this moment, what did Christ say? Come. Peter wished to come. Bid me come. And he said, come. The mind of Christ at that moment equals the mind of Peter. What happened? He stepped out and he started walking on water. The word of Jesus was in Peter's heart. Peter was in Jesus' mind also. So when you add the equation together, he started walking on water. You know the story. He started walking on water. How many times do you have the opportunity? You have this opportunity to walk on water. But for whatever reason, some part of this equation is missing. It's either His word is not in you or it's not remaining in you. These are the important things that we need to think about in our life. Do you remember when Jesus said, what I do, you will do more? And we come to church every Sabbath, and we are still not doing better than what Christ did. What is the reason for that? Because we don't abide in Him, and His word is not abiding in us. And when you look at another person, which is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, actually, is the story of Adam and Eve. Do you remember that the Bible says that God told Adam, go and name all the animals? And he did. The Bible says that He names them cattle, and whatever we call them today. But let's look at this thing in a big picture. When God now came back, why didn't God say, I don't like the name you named them? Don't forget, this is before sin. The mind of Adam and the mind of God, they are the same. And every name that He gave to these animals is the same name that God gave to them. What God wants us to do in our lives is for us to reach a moment to reach a situation in our life where what God thinks is what we think. What we wish is what God wishes. What we want is what God wants. And if that is not enough, allow me to tell you about Peter. Peter and John decided to go into the temple. What happened at the temple? There is a man at the gate called Beautiful, and he was begging for money. At this moment, Christ is only looking for one thing, for his name to be glorified. And Peter said, and the Bible says, this man was actually looking at them, give us some money. He said, oh, we don't have no money. I've said that in this church many times. What happened? When Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have give I unto you in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the man doesn't walk. His leg is still the same. But see, that's not possible. The man must walk because Peter fulfilled all those part of the equation. Hydrogen and oxygen must produce water. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask whatever you wish. Just like the Bible explained the vines and the branches, whatever you wish, you can have it. Whatever you desire, you can have it. As long as your desires, your wants, and your wishes correlate with the other part of the equation that says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask whatever you wish. And the Bible goes on to say, he will be giving you. The Bible says that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Christ. Do you understand what that means? I was talking to a friend of mine and I said, do you know who your daddy is? Do you really think he has money? Can he heal you? Can he give you peace? Do you know who your father is? Because if you know who your father is, a lot of us will be walking with our chest out, you know. But here we are. Why can we not get everything that we want, everything we wish for? Could it be? Because one part of the equation is missing. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, as some of the other versions we say, you may ask for whatever you wish. Constantly ask yourself, how do I fulfill this part of this equation? Because if you fulfill this part of the equation will be automatic. That's why the Bible says, before you ask, I will answer. While you are yet speaking, I will listen. The baby in the womb does not say it. It doesn't even need to ask for food. It just comes naturally. That is where God wants us to go to. Whereby, before we even ask him to do something, he's already done. All we need to do is to claim it. That's why the Bible says, in all things, give thanks. Because a lot of time, it's not about asking, because he's already done it. And when you look at the life of all these people, all those equations are correct and they are fulfilled. And that is the message that I want to give to us today. Please, when you get home, study this. Think about it. Argue about this with your husband, with your wife, with your children, with your friend, with anybody. Make sure that you completely understand the concept and the tenet of God when it comes to John 15:7, which says, if you remain in me and my word remain in you, you may ask whatever you want. Whatever you want. If you know your father, I said this at church one time. If I need a car to take me to work, and my father just happened to be Johnny, then I may think twice, you know, should I ask him or not? Why? Because I know he's not a multimillionaire. I know I can't just ask him for a car. But let me tell you this, if my father is Bill Gates, what kind of confidence do I have to ask him? Why do I, what's the difference between the two? It's simple. Because Bill Gates got a lot of money. That's the reason why you can ask God for whatever you want. Because he has everything that you need in your life. Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Bible says that if God can just open the windows of heaven and we can see what goes on there, we will understand what kind of Father we have. And this Father is telling us, constantly reminding us, that if you remain in me and my word remain in you, you may ask whatever you want. What is it that you want? What do you want today? What do you want in your life? What is bothering you? What are you thinking about now that you think nobody can do for you? Yes, nobody can do it, but I want to tell you this, that if you remain in him and his word remains in you, you may ask whatever you want. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. But if you apply these two equations, what you want will completely be what God wants for you. If God wants to have you have a Toyota Corolla, you can ask as much as you will not ask for a Mercedes Benz. Why? Because you have the mind of Christ and the two of you are connected. If you remain in me, meaning you have to remain in Christ, and my word remain in you, study the Bible. You may ask whatever you wish, and it will be done. The Bible says it will be done. You know this because he has done it for you before. There's nobody seated here that will tell me that God has not performed a miracle in their life. And if he can do this when the equations are not even all that correct, imagine when you complete this equation. If you remain in me and my word remain in you, you may ask whatever you wish. Let us pray. Precious Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you because you continue to be a God of miracle, a loving Father in our lives. Precious Lord, please help us. Help us to understand that you want to give us everything we need. If we just allow you to remain in us, and your word remain in us, we remain in you also. Father Lord, please help us to have a full understanding of what you are trying to tell us here. That you have everything we need and you are the only one who can give us everything we need. We're going to leave this place very soon. We're going to go out and help the needy. Precious Lord, please help us. Help us to understand that we need you also and that we can come to you with whatever we need. Lord, the most important thing in our life is to know you. The most important thing in our life is when you come back for us to go home with you. This is our wish to help us. Help us to understand the requirements that we need in order to get what we want from you. Please, Lord, continue to be with us. We need your Holy Spirit because your Holy Spirit will help us to be able to understand what you're trying to tell us. If we remain in you, and your word remain in us, we may ask whatever we wish, and it will be done to us. Thank you, Lord, for this understanding today. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.